Welcome to Bible and Bourbon with Pastor Ben. It is a blessing to be back with you this week. I am sorry again that I had to unexpectedly take last week off. The Holy Week season caught up to me, and everything in the church was a bit much when you consider also recording this podcast. But I am so thankful for all of you who listened to the update last week. And those of you who did know that after we finish the study on the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be trying something a bit different, looking at a theme instead of a book, relying on many different scriptures. And the first theme that we will examine will be on purpose. Your purpose with God and your purpose in your life. And we are going to be releasing a study guide that will be a written, printable study guide so that if you have any small groups, as I know some of you do, who listen to this podcast together and discuss it, you can use the study guide to talk about the scripture and the theme with your group. So I look forward to introducing that here in a few weeks, but for right now, we're going to go ahead and finish our study on the Gospel of Matthew, particularly talking today about Jesus being tried in front of Pilate, the Roman prefect. Our prayer request for the week comes from a listener who unexpectedly needs to have a knee replacement. I know that at this point, knee replacements are basically an in-and-out drive-through procedure, but a minor procedure is something that happens on someone else. So we'll make sure to keep you in our prayers this week. Today, I am drinking a new whiskey, one that I have not seen before, but I was in the liquor store and it caught my eye. It is First Call Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Now, here in Louisville, as spring comes, so does Derby season. And I know many people around the rest of the world don't celebrate an entire season for the Kentucky Derby, but here in Louisville, we do. And when those first flowers start to bloom, we start thinking about Derby. And this First Call bourbon has a nice little horse on the bottle, so I thought I'd give it a try. Now, it is a 90 proof bourbon, but it is very sweet. It has elements of a brown sugar and vanilla, and it has a bit of butterscotch, too. I'm not getting too many oaky or woody flavors from it. Maybe a bit of sweet corn. But it is much smoother than I expected and much sweeter. A lot sweeter than I was expecting. If you are a fan of sweet bourbons, it may be a good choice for you. In some ways, it reminds me of an Angel's Envy, with those sweet notes coming forward primarily ahead of any deep earthy flavors. The flavors here are very sweet and airy. But let's go ahead and start our study with a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for allowing us to learn from your wisdom, to learn how Christ approached his trial and how Christ approached persecution, so that we can learn how to be more like him in everything we do. We pray this in your Son's holy and great name. Amen. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 11 through 27. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner, whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So, when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Do not have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But The chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What should I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. They had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 27. Today, we read the scripture of Jesus being brought before Pilate. In this scripture in particular, we can see the interworkings of the Roman authorities, because Rome was known for being a bureaucratic state, particularly in the time of Christ. And we see that bureaucracy working here in the way that Jesus is treated. As we talked about, the Jewish elites did not have the authority to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Jesus, so they had to turn him over to Pilate and convince Pilate to execute him. Now, Pilate is not concerned with religious matters. He is not Jewish, and he is not a follower of God. As far as he is concerned, what Jesus is accused of, being the Messiah, is meaningless. It's not a crime. In fact, he calls Jesus the Messiah, or the one who is called the Messiah, often in the scripture. And even when he discusses the criminal nature of Jesus, he describes him as an innocent man, asking what crime has he committed. But in the end, Pilate, and Pilate alone, is the only person in Jerusalem who can carry out the sentence. Which brings up the question, is he still held guilty of the sin, even though he claims to be innocent of this man's blood? Is he guilty of shedding this man's blood because he was the only one with the authority to put Jesus to the cross? Because at some point, the buck has to stop. So we're going to discuss Pilate's guilt today. Is he guilty of turning Jesus over to be crucified? Or is Jesus' blood truly not on his hands? And what theological implications does answering that question bring up for us today in our lives? So let's start by looking at the scripture before Pilate washes his hands and see from the very beginning how this trial in front of Pilate is set up. First, we have the chief priest and the elders coming to give testimony against Jesus. They are probably reiterating what they discussed within the Sanhedrin. They are discussing what they have rehearsed time and time again, that Jesus claims to be the King of the Jews, and therefore by being the King of the Jews, he is actively rebelling. And they would focus particularly on rebellion. Because while Pilate did not care about religious matters, he did care about rebellion. In fact, that was probably the only thing that he truly cared about other than collecting taxes. As long as Jerusalem paid their taxes and did not rebel, then Pilate would be a happy man. But as Pilate listens to their evidence and he talks with Jesus, he realizes fairly early on that Jesus is not leading a rebellion. And Jesus does not even answer their points of evidence, their testimony, because Jesus knows, no matter what his answer is, these men are going to push for his execution. And Pilate, seeing this, realizes that he is nothing more than a cog in their machine. Pilate is just part of the chief priest's devious plan. And I doubt very much that Pilate, this powerful man, quite honestly, probably the most powerful man politically in Jerusalem at this moment, would like being part of someone else's plan. So he comes up with a plan of his own. He decides to release a prisoner, as is his custom during the Passover festival, in that moment, then and there. And he pulls two men in front of them. Now, we don't know much about the other prisoner, but we do know, interestingly enough, from the Gospel of Matthew, that his name was Jesus as well, Jesus Barabbas. But the other Gospels that are not Matthew leave off his first name. They just call him Barabbas. Some people believe that the other Gospels did this to avoid confusion. Other people point out that it is difficult to compare Jesus, the sinless man, to Jesus Barabbas, who, from what we know in other Gospels, was a well-known prisoner because he was a murderer and that he had been leading an insurrection. Jesus Barabbas, not Jesus the Messiah, was the exact kind of person that Pilate disliked, as well as the Jewish elites. He was a rebel, and he was a murderous one at that. So it makes for a striking image. You have Jesus, Barabbas, the murderous rebel, the one that everyone should want kept away from them. And then you have Jesus, the Messiah, a sinless man, one who is not leading an insurrection and also is not a murderer. Pilate brings these two men forward as a way to compare the two. He says, here, do you want this murderer, this insurrectionist, or do you want this peacemaker? Which one do you want to live among you, to be with your wife and your children? But then, at the chief priest's urging, the crowd screams that they release Barabbas. So, Pilate does. And then he asks what they should do with Jesus, this innocent man, this lamb led to slaughter. And they say, crucify him. So Pilate goes and washes his hand and says that he has no guilt, but the guilt is now on you, the crowd. But is that true? Because only Pilate said that the guilt was on the crowd. Jesus didn't say that the guilt was on the crowd. God did not say the guilt was on the crowd. Only Pilate. So is the guilt truly on the crowd? Or is it on Pilate as well? Because Pilate could have just released Jesus. He didn't need to bring up Barabbas and have this comparison. The custom was for the governor to release whoever he chose. He could have easily chose Jesus the Messiah. But instead, he offered the crowd this choice. He asked the crowd and they gave their answer. And then he followed through with it. Jesus was handed over by Pilate. Pilate might say that he's washing his hands, but in reality, he made those choices. He made the choice to release the other prisoner and not release Jesus based on the crowd's input. He made the decision to crucify Jesus based on the crowd's input, but it was his decision. He made it. And I think he has to live with that choice. Whether he was happy to make it or not, he still bears responsibility. And sometimes I think we can fall into a trap of acting like Pilate. I had a friend of mine who works for a large company, and one of his coworkers, who's about 20 years his senior and has been with the company for roughly 20 years, was falling behind in certain ways. He realized it because he worked in quality assurance and it was his job to see her performance, But no one else did, because he corrected all the mistakes she was making. But then, as more and more mistakes piled up, he began to wonder if he wouldn't be better at her job than she is. Because the next step up in his career would be a position like hers. So, one day, when he saw a mistake on an important piece of paperwork, instead of correcting it as he normally does, he just let the mistake go. Let it go as if he had not noticed it at all. Then, my friend's boss, who was also her boss, saw the mistake when the paperwork was processed. My friend knew that this mistake would end up costing the company quite a bit of money, so he watched as their boss walked over to her office. But she did not get fired. And after the boss left her office, he walked over to his office, sat down, and yelled and reprimanded him for letting the mistake happen. But by letting that mistake slide, he made a choice to do nothing, and she got in trouble and got reprimanded, but he did too, because part of the guilt was on him. It was his job to check her work, to check for mistakes, and if she made one and he did not catch it, it was on him just as much as it was on her. And this isn't just with our careers where these sort of things happen. It happens in our marriages sometimes. Maybe you feel as if you're always unloading the dishwasher, and you might see your spouse walk past a sink full of dishes and wonder why they wouldn't take the time to take those dishes and put them in the dishwasher. But you save that memory somewhere in your mind for a day or two or a week or a month later, and then in an argument you bring it up, asking why they never do the dishes. And maybe that's not the exact analogy you have in your relationship. Maybe it's not the dishwasher, but is there something that you hold on to, something you could just address then and there? Instead of making the choice to do the right thing, you choose to do nothing so that it can benefit you later on. You choose to do nothing, knowing that you could do something and make everything better, but you choose to do nothing because you feel as if it was someone else's mistake, not something that can bother you. Don't be like Pilate. Make the choice to do what is right time and time again. Do something. And stand up for what you believe in, even when people are pressuring you to do something different. Always stand up for what you believe in and what you know is right. Don't let the crowds influence you. Because at the end of the day, the choices you make to do something or to do nothing are still your choice. Now, luckily, we've all been pardoned from sin due to our Savior, dying on the cross and being resurrected again. We are freed by grace. But just because we are freed by grace doesn't mean we should sin and act like Pilate so that grace can multiply. And next week, we are going to talk about that crucifixion, seeing what it means for us today and how the crucified Savior still lives in our heart. As always, I'd like to thank you for joining me today. If you have any prayer requests or questions over the material, please email me at BiblePeriodBourbon@gmail.com. And while it is true that Jesus drank wine, an occasional glass is different than an addiction. If you need help, please seek it. If you need help but don't know where to look, please reach out to me, and I'd be happy to guide you. Blessings, everyone.